Welcome, welcome. How's everybody doing? Thank you. Thank you for all the birthday wishes. I am so grateful. I appreciate all of them. I am happy to be here this morning. Every morning is a good morning. Amen. Every morning is a good morning, especially Sunday mornings. We get to come together. We get to worship God. We get to have some great fellowship. And guess what? We get to encourage other people as well that are not here in this building, right? And so, you know, I do like birthday presents, so I only asked for one today. I'm going to give you the easiest way to share your faith. All week, the easiest way to share your faith. Go to our Facebook page, The Path Church, share our live stream. Share our live stream of this sermon that's going on right now. And let's say hello to all our Facebook friends. Say, we can do better. Let's encourage our Facebook friends. Say hello, Facebook family. We could do better. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm excited to start a new series today. Excited to see everybody who is here visiting with us today. Let's go ahead and pray to God. Father, we thank you so much for who you are, God. We are honored to be able to pray to the Creator of all things, to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. We are humbled, God, that you would listen to us, God. We don't come to you this morning just saying things, God, but we come to you understanding the power of what is happening when we give our hearts and our minds and our words to you, Lord God. I thank you so much for providing for us, for taking care of us. Thank you for this church. Thank you for all the blessings and the victories we get to experience. And thank you for the hardship, God, that brings us closer together, closer to you, the way you teach us lessons, the way you help us to grow, Father. I pray that this morning, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will really fill this atmosphere, God, that you will reveal to us the things that you want us to get, God, to learn, to grow in, Father. God, that you will help us to become more like Jesus, that you will meet our needs, that you will prepare us to do what you want us to do this week, Father. Be with me as I preach your word. I thank you, God, for another year of life, God, and I thank you personally for all the blessings that you have blessed me with, and I thank you for the opportunity to preach this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, there are times life is amazing, incredible. I'm talking about just flowing. You're in the zone. I mean, you got momentum spiritually, physically. You feel good. I mean, things are rolling. And there are times when life is hard. Friday night, I had the time of my life. I got to coach up some boys who went after it, who fought through adversity together, who believed in themselves and in the vision and the mission of the team, who trusted each other and their coaches. It was a blast. It was a blast. You know, I usually pray before our games, before our head coach, Coach Cap, who I see here today with his family. My boy surprised me on my birthday. And, you know, usually, you know, he gives his pregame speech, and I get to pray. And prayer is the last thing we do before we leave the locker room and we hit the field. And I usually thank God for the opportunity just to play and to coach the sport that we love so much. And so I ask God to keep us safe out there, injury-free. I ask him to be with us. I pray that we can stick together, that we can overcome adversity together, because we know that adversity will hit, right? In every game and in our lives, we know that adversity will come. And sometimes, most of the time, I pray and I ask God for the W. Say, God, if it's in your will, I pray that we win. If it's in his will, of course, if it's in his will. Now, Friday night, I don't really remember asking him for the win in that locker room. But we did. We did. We defeated our crosstown rivals, Riverdale High School, for the first time in 6 or 7 years. That's what I heard. It was amazing. And I know we got some Riverdale folks in the house. We still love you. We love you. We love you. You had a good run. I actually do remember, though, that just before kickoff, I was walking down the sideline and I said, God, if there's any way, that's all I said. You know the little prayers you say, you just, God, if there's any way, Lord, you know what I meant? Well, it would be amazing if we got the victory. God, if there's if there's any way, Lord, just do what you do. And that's it. But God knew what I was saying. And it had been so long since we won this game that we actually forgot that there was an actual trophy for the game. And so we were all hyped up, running to the goal line where we usually go. And then they said, well, you got a trophy. So we all ran back. And this is a little bit of our celebration video from Friday night. It was awesome. Coach got a few Gatorade baths that night. He kept running around, but they kept catching him. We jumped around. We did our thing, what we usually do, and then we did go to the sideline. And after Coach Capp's post-game speech that he usually gives, I gave out my character award that we usually do, and I prayed what we usually do. And I thank God for the victory, and I thanked him for all the ways he answered my prayers from earlier, before the game, right? And I asked God to help us to continue to grow and get better and keep the momentum going. And I asked him to help us to make sure we give him all the glory. You know, sometimes we preach in our prayers. That's what I was doing. I was like, Lord, help us to give you all the glory, because I wanted all the boys to go home and let people know it was God. And so on my Facebook post, I let them know God helped us. My girls came, my wife, my daughters, they surprised me. It was awesome. They came to celebrate with me. I was so locked in that I didn't know. And so one of the coaches called me out during halftime and said, hey, your family's here. And they surprised me. It was awesome. You know, my girls were running around with the other kids after the game. Something that I had seen growing up as I played football. I saw the coaches and their families and the little kids running around. And somewhere in my heart, I've always wanted that. And so dreams were coming true. Life is amazing. I went to sleep that night. I barely could sleep because I was so excited. And I woke up to a couple of text messages from my brothers asking if I knew Sam Howell. Right then and then, I knew something was wrong, that something had happened. And before I went to bed, I saw some things were happening in my hometown of Kissimmee, Florida. But I didn't pay it much mind. Then I woke up and read those text messages, and then I saw the Facebook post, and I knew it was bad. Called my brother to find out what happened. This was my boy from high school, and he was one of two police officers who were shot on late Friday night. The other officer was Matthew Baxter. He has he survived a wife and four children. And he had already been pronounced dead by this time. But Sergeant Sam Howard was still alive. He said he was in grave condition. So I go through my Facebook feed, and I see a lot of my friends from back home asking for prayer. And I was instantly filled with emotion and overwhelmed with emotion. And so after making my own social media post asking for prayer, I turned over in my bed and just started praying that he would survive, praying that God would do a miracle so that he could get the glory. Surely, I have to believe, right? Somebody has to believe, and I don't care what condition he's in. If he still has breath, then I'm going to pray, and I got to believe. I mean, I'm preaching this message tomorrow on moving mountains. Surely, I have to lead by example. But it was rough. Throughout the day, I was just emotional at different times and different thoughts in my mind and thoughts of his smile. He just had this huge smile, and that's why I share this picture of him, because that's how I remember him. He just had this huge smile, this loud laugh, and he was one of the good ones. And I had thoughts of his family and his wife that survived him and his teenage daughter. And I went through his Facebook page, and I saw how he was teaching his daughter to drive, and I saw him at Christmas, and And I struggled. I struggled with here in my city in the national news and even hearing Donald Trump, our president, tweet about Kissimmee. You know, I was like, man, this is just weird. It just feels weird to hear my high school buddy, his name, all over social media and the national news media. And eventually, unfortunately, they made it official that Sergeant Sam Howard passed away. More emotion, right? And back to social media. And one of my boys I saw, he posted on Facebook. He said, I'm going to say a few things, and I'm going to get off social media for a while. I said, good idea. Me too. Life is hard. This is in a span of 24 hours. We can experience dreams come true and living nightmares. Why do I share all this? You know, prayer is one of the most fundamental Christian beliefs. And yet it's still one of the most mysterious, right? I mean, why did God answer this short personal prayer of mine to win a football game, right? And not answer this prayer where hundreds, maybe even thousands of people that were praying over a life? Why is that, God? What, does he even think that sports are important? You know, some people say, God don't care about sports. I beg to differ. I think God cares about everything we care about. God cares about everything, every single detail in our lives, everything we love, right? And so it's like, well, does God even care about that? Well, what's important? How should we pray? Are those little silent prayers more powerful than two or three or hundreds of two and three gathered together? Why do people always ask for prayer during hard times? Even people that aren't religious. Like nobody will say no to prayer when their family member is dying. They just won't. Now they'll say, sometimes they'll say, I ask for your thoughts in prayer. Now my belief is I don't think thoughts will really do much. I just don't. Our thoughts actually are more worrisome to me because oftentimes we do more thinking than praying. But man, why is it that even non-religious people will welcome prayers during difficult times? What does it mean to have faith, to believe and not doubt? What does that mean? Man, I kind of doubted more than we would win, and I try to force myself more to believe that he would survive because surely this is in your will, God, to give you all the glory. What is faith? What is doubt? I don't know about you, but these are the things that I wrestle through. Because though prayer is such a fundamental part and a basic part of Christianity, it's still so mysterious. You know, we're starting this new series based on this book, Moving Mountains, praying with passion, confidence, and authority. And just to give you a heads up, I mean, I'm not going to be preaching verbatim from the book, so get the book, read it on your own. I can't even do the book justice. I want you to read it for yourself. This is one of hundreds of maybe thousands of books, right, written on prayer. But this author, John Eldridge, or probably any other, I can be sure, any other author for that matter, nobody has cracked the code on getting our prayers answered. Nobody has revealed to us the secret formula, right, to make this happen. To get God to do what we want him to do all the time. We just haven't cracked the code. But I didn't choose this book or this series really because of that. You know, this book actually chose me. My mother gave it to me as a Christmas present, and it helped me get out of the spiritual funk that I talked to you about last week. And so it's something special to me. I'll tell you right now, this book stretched me a little bit on prayer. It would probably lean more toward the charismatic side of things, right? And so some things he confirmed and strengthened, convictions that I already had, and then made some persuasive arguments about prayer that I had yet to explore. Now, there's some things in the book that open my mind, and there's some things in the book that I don't agree with, but that's how we grow, right? We read stuff, we study stuff, and then we try to wrestle it out with God. But the best thing about this book, you know what it did for me? It inspired me to pray more, to get more intimate in my relationship with God, to cry out to him.
It helped me to deepen my intimacy with God. It helped me to build my faith in God. And so I pray that this book and this series will have the same effect on you. My prayer for us as a church over the next couple months as we study this out is for us to be able to grow in our intimacy with God and to grow in our faith in God, to cry out to God as a church, to cry out to God in a way we've never have before, and in the process, to experience what it's like to see God move mountains. Look over at Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. There's a number of times where Jesus talks about moving mountains. This is one of those times. Matthew chapter 17. It starts off, we're going to be reading about the transfiguration. When Jesus takes three of his boys up to the mountain to experience this amazing time with him. Matthew chapter 17, we're going to start in verse 1. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, his boys, his three closest guys, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. What does that mean? Well, his face shone like the sun. His clothes became as white as the light. Just then, there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. So they look up. They think they're going on a little field trip hiking up to the mountain. And all of a sudden, Jesus transfigures into this beam of light. And then the people that they had heard about, Moses and Elijah, already all of a sudden appear in this life. I'm not talking about heaven. I'm talking about on this mountain. So much so, it's so real to Peter that in verse 4, Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here." Life was good, right? It is amazing for us to be here. Now, if you wish, I will put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Let me serve y'all. It was so real. He said, let me build a shelter for you guys because you're here with us. While he was still speaking in verse 5, it says, a bright cloud covered them. A voice from the cloud said, this is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. So if it wasn't enough for Jesus to become transfigured, if it wasn't enough for Moses and Elijah to show up on the mountain, then God himself speaks. And they hear the audible voice of God. And so what do? Probably what we would do. Verse 6, when the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. Y'all said he talking about you want to hear the voice of God. God, tell me what to do. Woo-wee. Terrified. It was too much to handle. But Jesus came and touched them. I love that about him. He came. Come here. Come here, son. I got you. Get up. He said, don't be afraid. When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. Just like that, it was over. I love that. I love this story. This is, you think about mountaintop experiences. This is it. I'm sure after this, they could have felt good, died, and go to heaven. It's like, I have experienced the most amazing thing anybody can experience. They just experienced this intimate time with their Lord, with God, with these incredible men that they only heard about, right? But then, as usual, it's time to come down from the mountain, right? And in Mark's version of the story, they come down from the mountain, and disciples are down there. The rest of the disciples who didn't get brought up to the top, they probably already were struggling, but they were arguing with the teachers of the law, and they were going at it. And it says that there was a crowd of people, a large crowd surrounding them. You remember in high school when a fight broke out? Or right before the fight broke out, when they started arguing, all of a sudden that crowd around them starts having, that's what's going on. It's like, ooh, what is it? Ooh, and they're instigating. You know, the disciples say something, ooh, then the teachers of the law, oh, you know what I'm saying? And that's what's happening right now. And Jesus walks in like, what is going on? I leave y'all for just a little bit of time But it says in Mark's verse that as soon as they see Jesus, it says they're overwhelmed with wonder and they run to greet him. They're like, forget y'all. I don't need this drum. I'm gone. And so they run to greet him. It says they're overwhelmed. Like, wow, this is amazing. This is who we came to see. I didn't come to see a fight. I came to see Jesus. In verse 14, let's pick it up there. Verse 14. When they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. Lord, have mercy on my son, he said. He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. You unbelieving and perverse generation, Jesus replied. How long shall I stay with you? I know Jesus was perfect. I know he didn't get angry, but maybe this was righteous anger. Because Lord knows I've had this thought in my mind before. And maybe you have too with the people you love the most. Ooh, how long do I got to put up with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed at that moment. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, why couldn't we drive it out? He replied, because you have so little faith. Truly, I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. And then the little footnote says, there's another passage there, verse 21, in some of the manuscripts that says, but this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. So they come down from the mountain. They come in contact with another mountain. An obstacle that seemed insurmountable. Life was hard. Just a few moments before, life was amazing. Now life was hard. Parents, you know how difficult it is when our children are suffering. Physically, emotionally, spiritually, it's just hard. Especially when you've tried different things and it doesn't seem to get any better. This father, he did the right thing. Jesus was up on the mountain. He brought his son to the disciples, but they couldn't heal him. And that's what all this arguing was about. This guy just came to get help, and people, it was just chaos. But I love Jesus. I love Jesus. Bring the boy to me. You know, Jesus has a way of turning mountains into miracles. Church, can I get an amen? Jesus has a way of turning mountains into miracles. I love Jesus for this. Think about the mountains in your life. What are the obstacles that seem insurmountable? What are the sin in our hearts and the character flaws that we see? It feels like we can't overcome. You know, what are the health issues, the family issues, the money issues that maybe we've tried to conquer before, but for some reason we're back at the bottom of that mountain looking up at it, and it looks even bigger than before. First things first, bring it to Jesus. Bring it to Jesus. Some of us are struggling in our marriages. Bring it to Jesus. Some of us, we're struggling with our finances. Bring it to Jesus. Some of us, we're struggling. We're struggling our relationship with God. We don't need to go away from God. We need to bring it to Jesus. Maybe we're struggling at our jobs, or maybe a lack of a job. Bring it to Jesus, amen? Maybe we're struggling with our purpose. Bring it to Jesus. Struggling with our purity. Bring it to Jesus. Struggling with our pride. Stop trying to figure out how to do it on your own. Stop trying to fix it on your own. Stop trying to get your friends to fix it. Stop trying to get your family to fix it. Stop trying to get your church to fix it. Bring it to Jesus. That's where it starts. I love this commentary here in my Life Application Bible. It says, disciples had been unable to drive out this demon, and they asked Jesus why. And he pointed to their lack of faith. Now we know it's the power of God and not our faith that moves mountains, but faith must be present to do so. The mustard seed was the smallest particle imaginable. Even small or undeveloped faith would have been sufficient. But perhaps the disciples had tried to drive out the demon with their own ability rather than God's. There is greater, great potential in even a little faith when God is with us. If we feel weak or powerless as Christians, we should examine our faith, making sure we are trusting not in our own abilities to produce results, but in God's. Surely we can judge these disciples. Surely we can say, come on now, y'all had Jesus. Why would you try to do it on your own? These folks are so prideful, self-reliant, I can't believe it. We do the same stuff. How many times do you get hit with a problem and before going to Jesus, we try to fix it? That's me. I'm Mr. Fix-It. Now, I can fix some stuff, but I am one of the most self-reliant guys you'll ever meet. Now, it was good for me because I had to cope with life that way, right? I felt like, man, listen, I got to do this. Nobody's going to do this for me. And so even at a young age, as I saw tragedy in my life, and I felt like, well, God, I guess you're not around because this stuff is happening. And I didn't know God that very well. I didn't know the Bible. And so I went there. I'm like, God, why is bad stuff happening? You must not be all powerful. So what? I guess what? I'm going to do my thing then. If not even God's going to work for me, then I'm going to work for myself. And so it's so easy to become self-reliant. We try to do stuff on our own. We panic. We get anxious. We start worrying. And sometimes it just gets worse. But here we get a glimpse of how prayer actually works. You know that there is a way that prayer works. And Jesus, through the Bible, gives us, and not just in the New Testament or the Gospels, all through the Bible, we just get these glimpses of how God works through prayer. And this is one of those times we get a glimpse of how prayer works through faith. But what is faith? Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. So faith is believing in something that's not real. That's real, but we can't see it. It's something that maybe hasn't happened yet, something that we can't touch, something that we just hope for, something that we cannot see. No, faith is about looking at life through eyes of faith, using our imagination, our creativity to see what is but what can be, right? And picturing that in our minds and being certain of it. And Jesus says, you can say to this mountain, move. You can say to this mountain, move. We can say to our mountains to move. And it will be done for you. We won't do it, but it will be done for us. But we have to say it. We got to say it. And nothing will be impossible for you. I struggled with this passage. I remember as a young Christian, I struggled with this passage. I'm like, how can I believe this? That nothing will be impossible for me. Really? I see a lot of limits in my life. I'm like, this is hard. God, there's got to be something. You're trying to get me on this. There's got to be something else here. I remember putting it up, writing it down, and putting it up on my wall. And I used to look at it every day and be like, okay, God, help me to believe that nothing will be impossible for me. And so I ask us, do we believe this scripture? Do we believe this scripture? Do we believe it, that whatever we ask for in prayer, it will be ours if we believe? Can we say that this is true? I know for me, I struggle because if I say it's true, then I'm going to be open to disappointment. So we got to figure out, how does this scripture come true? How does prayer work? I struggled until I found another scripture. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, confidence, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. We can ask for anything, and it will be done for us, even mountains that will move, as long as it's according to his will. There is a way that prayer works. That's why it's so important to ask God for his spirit to intercede for us when we pray. I ask God, all my good days, when I remember, Lord, I was going to pray what you want me to pray. Spirit, fill me right now so I say only what's in accordance with your will. I don't want to say anything that is not in accordance with your will because I want my prayers to come true. Do you want your prayers to come true? I don't know about you. I want to see results. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's why we pray to God. It's one of the reasons we pray to God, because we're asking for God to intervene in our lives. That's what prayer is about, that God can intervene in our lives, that he wants us to talk to him and ask him, and he wants to do that for us. Do you remember the first time in your life or the first few times when God started answering prayers? When it was so evident that there's no way something like this can be a coincidence. Man, I remember as a young Christian, I would pray for stuff and like that day would happen. Or the next day, and it would happen in such a way that it's like, I didn't tell anybody else about this. How come this? There's a lot of stuff that I think about or that I want that don't happen, but I prayed and this happened. You know what it did for me? It built my faith. I said, God has to be real. There's no other way this could have happened. God has to be real. So I want to encourage you to pray, especially as a young Christian. You're seeking God. Just pray. Put it out there. You know what? I'll say, ask God for a sign. Tell him to make it clear that he is real. Just build that relationship with God in that way. Because God loves us so much that he wants us to know that he is real. But true faith, requires such a deep trust in God. It's a level of trust that says, even if you don't answer my prayers, you're still answering my prayers. When we trust God, even when our prayers don't come true, he's still answering our prayers. Even when we want doesn't happen, he's still answering our prayers. Why? Because our prayers should be to be in the will of God. My number one prayer, more than anything else, I don't care what happens, I just want to stay in God's will. I know if I stay in God's will, I will be successful. I will have peace. I will have joy. I will make it to heaven. I want to stay on the path. Amen? So please, God, don't answer the prayers that ain't from you. Please. If anything will happen that will take me away from your will, I don't want those things in the first place. So a deep trust is first and foremost, God, I don't even know what to pray. I'm praying what I think is best, but your Holy Spirit tells me to pray, and I just want you, let your will be done. I know that his will is perfect. I know it. We'll talk more about God's will another time because it really does affect our prayer life. You ever think about what is God's will, right? Okay, you want me to pray according to your will. Well, what is that? We'll talk about that some more because I think sometimes we attribute everything to God's will and it's really not. That's what Jesus says. Jesus says, pray like this, say, your will be done. Why? Because there's a possibility it won't. Because there's an evil, right? There's demons and there's the devil and there's a spiritual battle. And so we pray for his kingdom to come. We'll get into that. I'm glad it's a series. I don't got to fill it all up in one day. At the end of this, and we'll close out here. It says, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. In the other accounts, it says the same thing. I want you to wrap your minds around this, that there is no other solution for some of the demons that we're facing in our personal lives, in our families, in our neighborhoods, in our cities, in our states, and in our country. There is no other solution for some of the demons we are facing as a nation other than prayer and fasting. And so I get upset when folks are talking, minimizing the power of prayer. And I see people say, oh, what all Christians do is pray. Go out there and do something. I understand what they're saying. For too long, the church just hasn't had an impact. And many churches have not had an impact in their communities. And so they say, we'll pray about it, but that doesn't mean much, and they don't see any change in that. But true prayer, when we pray, when we pray to God, we are empowered by God to go and act. When we truly pray about things, there is something in us that moves us to do something. And more than anything else, opens us up for God to do something through us. That's what true Christian prayer is about. It's not about to say, I'll pray for you, or Lord, please be whatever you want. No, it's about going to God and asking him to use us. Right? But there are some that won't come out only by prayer and fasting. We got to come to the conviction that what God can do when we ask him, and it's in his will, and we have faith, and he can do immeasurably more than we could ever do. And he can do immeasurably more in an instant that would take us a lifetime to accomplish. And yet we minimize the power of prayer, talking about, you're just going to pray about it, you ain't going to do it. Listen, there are some demons that will only come out by prayer and fasting. We got to build that conviction. I believe the problem is we're not praying enough. Not the way God wants us to. What I want us to get from today is, one, there is a way that prayer works. And first off, Jesus says, bring it to me. So we got to go to Jesus. We got to spend time with Jesus. We got to go to Jesus. Bring it to me. Bring it to him. Bring it to Jesus. And number two, we got to have faith. We got to have faith. And number three, it's got to be in accordance with God's will. Now, that is not the end all be all, because there's a whole Bible to explore, but that is a good place to start. Bring it to Jesus, have faith, and pray it's in accordance with his will. I have a challenge for you today, something practical that I want you to do for this week. Anybody up for a challenge? Facebook, anybody up for a challenge? This week, I want to challenge every single one of us to pray every day for 10 minutes. Out loud. Pray out loud every day for 7 days for just 10 minutes. I just want you to set your alarm on your phone, that timer, for 10 minutes and go at it with God. You only have your phone. I want you to hit your do not disturb button, okay? Hit your do not disturb button for 10 minutes. No disruptions. Just you and God. Go in that closet. Go in that room. Go walk. Do whatever you got to do. Just get 10 minutes for you and God. Now, the challenge is not in doing it one time. 10 minutes sounds really easy. The challenge is building great habits to do it every day for 7 days. And I can't wait to hear the victory stories. I can't wait to see what God will do just with 10 minutes of daily prayer with 200 people crying out to God. Amen? And if you need some help in learning how to pray, I will give you this. Acts, A-C-T-S. Spend a few minutes adoring God. Okay? Spend a few minutes adoring. Just telling him how much you love him. Just tell him, man, you are amazing. You're incredible. Talk about his character, right? Spend a few minutes in confession. Confess your sin to God. Confess your sin to God, God. And confess your temptation. This is where I've fallen short. I've lied. I've cheated. I've stolen. I've hurt people. I've been tempted to cheat, lie, steal, lust, whatever. But just confess. Spend a few minutes doing that. Spend a few minutes being thankful. Thanking him. Thanking him. Thanking God. That in spite of our sin, because of his grace and his mercy, he's given us all these blessings. Thank him for life. Thank him for everything that means something dear to you. And lastly, supplication. That means you ask God. Just ask, what do you want, God? What do you want? He says, ask him. So what do you want from God? If you spend 2 or 3 minutes on each one of these, you had prayed for 10 minutes. Just 2 to 3 minutes on each one. All right, so I wanted to give you some tools. You know, I didn't want to give you a challenge without the tools to go ahead and get it done, all right? And I do believe we'll get it done. Let's go ahead and pray for our communion. Let's go ahead and pray for communion. Oh, God, thank you, God, for listening to us right now. Thank you for the incredible gift of prayer. God, that you want us to ask you, you want us to talk to you, you want us to have a relationship with you, you want us to tell you everything about us. Man, it's just a gift. You want to intervene in our lives. You want to do things in our hearts. You want to heal us. You want to move mountains for us. You want to build our faith. I mean, God, we love you so much. And God, we don't have it all figured out. We don't. But we do know that you want to hear from us. And so we thank you for the little prayers that you answer that sometimes we just think about. I don't even know if it's a real prayer yet. You know the desires of our hearts, and you give us stuff, and you bless us with stuff. Sometimes we don't even pray about, God. And we thank you when you don't answer our prayers, because we know that your will, we want your will to be done, God. And yet we pray for perseverance when you don't answer our prayers. And we know that's not the end-all, be-all, that sometimes you want us to push through in prayer. God, I want to pray specifically for the families and those affected in regards to the police officers that were shot and killed, God. God, I pray for Officer Matthew Baxter. I pray for Sergeant Sam Howard. Their families, God. God, have mercy on their souls. Comfort their families. Give them peace. God, give them joy, give them forgiveness. God, we know that in all things, you work for the good, and even though I don't know what good can come out of this, God, I do know that your scripture is true. And we pray that good will come out of this, God. God, I pray we may see the good that comes out of it. And we may worship you because of it. God, we thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you so much for the sacrifice that he made for us. We know that if he had not went up on that cross, that we would never have a personal relationship with you. We'd still be going to people, to priests. We'd still have to sacrifice animals. We'd have to somehow try to atone for our sins through sacrifice of animals, God. And yet, there is no separation for us who believe because of Jesus Christ. And right now, I ask that through his blood, through his body that was broken, as we commune with you, God, that you will allow us to do just that, commune with you, have a special time right now with you as we remember Jesus. Give us the strength and the power, give us consistency this week to go to you. I pray we'll see incredible miracles. Mountains turn to miracles. Mountains that will move in our lives. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.